welcome to Beer Untapped with Perry Miller. Grain, hops, water, and yeast. These are the four basic ingredients of beer, but where do they come from to be transformed into that magical elixir in your pint glass? We explore that today with Seth Cook at Wooden Legs Brewing in Brookings. Let's start with the most important ingredient in beer, the grain. Most often, barley.
Barley is a grass-style plant. Think of it like wheat, similar to wheat. It can grow around here. It's actually commonly grown in North Dakota and kind of up into Montana and up into Canada there.
Northern Minnesota.
We can grow it here. I just don't think we do because of the corn and soybean
influence. There's not a lot. It's a small crop in South Dakota.
Talking about supply chains, any other nation that kind of has the same climate and the same latitude as us, so you get into Germany and into the UK and those places, they grow barley pretty
Czechoslovakia.
Over into Russia, you can get barley grown as well, too. So that's the kind of the band of places that would grow barley. Of course, we at the brewery don't use barley in its raw form. The barley is harvested, then sent to a maltster.
South Dakota does not currently have a maltster, a vital cog in brewing, because you don't brew beer with raw barley.
The harvested barley, of course, is hard, and if you were to try to chew on it, you'd break your teeth. Think of it, you know, it's a kernel. So the maltster takes the barley and, through a process, allows it to begin to grow again. So they make this pile of barley wet and put some oxygen to it, and the barley begins to sprout. And then, through many years and centuries of experience and a whole lot of science, just like the rest of brewing, they know when to turn the process off by warming it up and drying it out and stopping the process so that the sugars have begun to convert inside of the barley. And ultimately, this whole process, that's all we're going for, is we're going for the sugar inside of the barley.
How long the barley is kilned determines how light or dark the malt is and the flavors it will produce. Seth says they buy grain from several sources. Lately, that has included Malt Works out of Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. And they're just starting to work with a couple of small malt houses in North Dakota.
The cool thing about the malt is that we do, by me at the Wooden Legs Brewing Company, has access to similar malts that all of the other big breweries have. So we'd really have kind of a universal starting playing field where the flavors and things that we tease out of that is because of our processes, because of how we've put it together, how we intend to use it, the malt, the yeast, the hops. Obviously, there is different cost implications. Every you know, if you're shipping it from overseas and it's really specialty, it's going to be more expensive. Or if we get it locally, it may not be like the German overseas malt, but it's going to have its own regional characteristics. It's going to be a local malt, and we're going to save on some shipping. So there's a lot of variety, and it takes the brewers a bit of time to make sure they know how they're using it and what they intend to use it for. I liken it to paints for an artist. You know, everybody can kind of buy the same paints, but it takes an artist to figure out which ones work for their style of painting.
Hops and yeast with Beer Untapped continues after this.
Oh, anaerobic methylation, alcoholic fermentation, NADH oxidation. Give me a beer.
Welcome back to Beer Untapped with Perry Miller as we talk about the basic ingredients of beer and where those pieces come from. We turn now to hops. Hops are the spice of beer, supplying bittering and flavor and aroma compounds. They continue to get more specialized and exotic every year. Most of the hops supplied to U.S. brewers are grown in the Pacific Northwest, but more and more they're being grown on a commercial scale throughout other parts of the country, including this area. It's not easy to get started growing hops, because you probably won't have a crop until the second year.
The other thing that makes hops so difficult is that you have to prepare them. Like, they can be used fresh, but in order to be shipped around the country and other things, they really need to be packetized or packaged in some way. That takes some specialty equipment. The most common way of is a pellet, which is just means it's been extruded through a plate and has been prepared to be frozen, actually. That keeps as much of the hop qualities available as long as it is. So we go through a hop broker because there hasn't been a lot of local hops, but actually just this last week we ordered our first, I think we ordered 44 pounds from our first local hop farm, and they're just over the border into Iowa, and we've got a Cascade coming from them and a Chinook, and they've got a third variety they wanted us to try, so we're going to try one of those. It's awesome. It's great to support the local producers.
A beer made with those hops will likely be coming out early summer. There are a few hops growers in South Dakota that have been supplying some product to state brewers. Yeast is everywhere in the atmosphere, but to get the kind specific to making ales or lagers, You deal with a lab.
Yeast can be sourced from a lot of different places, but there are a couple of yeast banks and yeast labs that do a really good job that service the brew industry. The yeast have so many components. They probably single-handedly have the most flavor, uniquely identifiable flavor components of any of the things we put in the beer. They could potentially bring the most to the party or ruin the party the most, depending on how you treat them.
There are hundreds of strains of yeast to choose from.
A lot of different things that can be done in selection of the yeast to really dictate the final product. And that's what it is. As a brewer, you kind of know what you're going to want to know what you're going to come up with, and that is going to help towards your yeast selection.
Unlike grain and hops, yeast can be harvested from the beer, cultured, and reused over and over again. There is a yeast supplier for brewers in South Dakota, Union Labs in Sioux Falls, that Seth has used. Finally, let's not forget water. Obviously important. Available locally, directly at the brewery. Seth says Brookings Water is suited to brewing, and about all they do is filter it.
The water that we happen to have has a little bit higher magnesium, and that allows us some luxuries when we are extracting the sugars and the colors out of, and even some of the hop flavors for the beers that we're making. So I don't mess with the water here very much. Now, we could and should if we try to replicate other versions of beers from around the world.
If like we wanted to make a Pilsner, maybe?
Good example. But in my opinion, local beer is local water, and if we want to replicate the Brookings water, then it's my challenge to replicate Brookings water someplace else. But I think it's kind of definitive of where we're at is the water we have, and it brews good beer, and I think I'm going to keep letting it brew great beer.
That's it for this week's show. Until next time, drink local and drink responsibly.